Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We switch gears this morning. We're going to talk about what's going on at Gary Melcher's home and studio at Belmont in Stafford County. David Barrett here, the director, and Beate Jensen is the site preservation manager. Good to have you both here. Good morning.
Thank you, Ted.
Good morning.
Yeah. David, this is lots going on this month, this fall at Belmont that we're gonna really get into. One of the things that immediately caught my attention was on Sunday the 15th, the 40th anniversary celebration takes place. Talk about that.
Well, actually, the celebration is going to be November 15th.
Oh, it is November 15th. You're right. Okay.
But yes, this year it actually was in mid-October 1975 that Belmont was open to the public for the first time. And it was actually 60 years since Corinne Melcher's had given the estate to the Commonwealth. But it took 20 years to get things going through both the state and the University of Mary Washington to get it open to the public. So in October of 1975, the doors were opened on a very limited schedule, and we are actually in mid-November going to have a little celebration on a Sunday, November 15th, where we will charge 1975 admission prices, which was, believe it or not, 75 cents for adults and 50 cents for children. So that'll be a nice day for people to come out who haven't been there before. We've done a few other things to celebrate the anniversary. One is coming up in January, but the highlights of it are starting in October. I'm doing a small exhibition called Belmont Portrayed to honor all of the artists who have painted on the grounds over the last decades. I'm doing a juried exhibition, and I'm the juror to select works that show Belmont both inside and out, and the gardens, by local artists or regional artists who have painted there over the years. And it's open to all to enter. All the information is available on our website at garymelchers.org, and entries open on October 26th.
The 40 years, though, is really something to be proud of, and a lot of history there, and this area needs to be, I mean, there's should be grateful to have a place that, like Belmont, that's been preserved and that we can go and visit.
Well, we're happy that we've made it this far. As you know, most museums are not that well endowed and try to continue year to year as we can with fundraising and events and programs and expansions. And we're fortunate that we've made it through these 40 years and have grown and expanded our facilities and what we can do for the public and our programming. And we think that it's marking 40 years is a good time to get those that have not been there to help us continue for another 40.
Right, definitely. Well, before we get out of here today, we're going to talk about the juried exhibition and how people can get involved with that. Beate, a number of things going on, and one of them begins this coming weekend.
Yes, it's this Sunday, October 11th, and we will be opening the Roots House again, starting at 12 o'clock to 1:45, so people can tour that and see how the house looks on the interior, which is really outstanding, and learn some of the history of the house. And then that's followed by a talk, an illustrated talk, by a professor of American Studies from William & Mary. Her name is Gray Gundacker. Mm-hmm. And she specializes in studying African-American garden traditions and symbolism. So it's going to be an interesting program.
Where is the Roots House on the Belmont?
Well, it is right adjacent to Belmont. It's when people take that little shortcut everyone loves to take up on Washington Street, you get to the corner of 17 when you make that very dangerous left turn. It's right there on the left.
Okay.
It has the very noticeable or memorable blue trim, and recently just received its red coat paint on the roof, which is what it was originally.
Okay.
So we're really thrilled to have that being restored.
This talk, describe what's going to happen with this, the talk with the professor from William & Mary.
Well, I have not heard her talks. I'm excited to hear about it. But when we discussed it, she is talking about the contributions of African American gardeners over time since slavery and onto today, and how some of the things that people do in their gardens today may actually be rooted back into African traditions in Africa, itself, and sort of brought along. When people do things in their gardens, they often don't know why, but sometimes there's a tradition that can be traced back to your roots, and in this case, it would be Africa.
Okay. And again, this is going to be this coming Sunday, beginning at – that the talk is at 2. The Roots House will be open for tours from 12 to 1:45. I've never done that. I've never –
Oh, you should come and see it.
It's a
fascinating story. It really is. There's a lot to learn about the house inside and on the exteriors. And, the date of the house is about 1880s. And the first builders, we think, were white laborers who lived in Falmouth at the time. And then in 1912, William Roots purchased the property, and he was the father of who's known Fanny Roots. And Fanny Roots was born there, I think it was 1904, and she died in 2007,
I think.
Okay. So, no, 1912 is when she was born. That's right. So she lived their entire life, and the building never had indoor water. There was some electricity, but she used a wood stove to cook and for heat. So it's a very interesting building, something that most of these have been lost because, when people have the money to update and upgrade, they would.
Right.
And in this case, it's just a little gem of a building that is sitting there almost frozen in time. It's quite interesting.
Well, in a place like that, it'd be interesting just to see pictures of how it used to be, just because that whole intersection and what the road has done to all that. I'm sure pictures of the Roots House back in the day would look much different than it looks now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't have that many pictures. And if any listeners have any pictures, we'd love to see them, and maybe we could scan them and keep them for our records. I'm sure there must be a lot more pictures out there than what we have. We have a few, but not enough. So again, if anyone has some that they are willing to share with us, we'd love to have them.
Okay, it's African American Gardens and Memories this Sunday. The talk by the professor from William and Mary is at 2 o'clock on Sunday. But you can tour the Roots House from 12 to 1:45 this coming Sunday. October the 11th. Tell me about the Spotlight exhibition, Julius Melcher's Captain Jack.
Yeah. Well, Julius Melcher was Gary's father, his mentor and his first teacher. Julius was a sculptor, a German-American who came to Detroit to that German community in the 1840s. And made his living as a sculptor of carvings for public buildings, did a lot of the major new works in Detroit at the time, including City Hall and major cathedrals. Mm-hmm. But he made his money, basically, carving cigar store Indians and figures for commercial properties. It was very popular in the post-Civil War era. And he became known as one of the best of that type. And his works are in great demand, not only then, but today at auction and in galleries. And Gary was his only son and studied with his father as a young man. But ironically, his father was a sculptor who never painted, and Gary became a painter who never sculpted. So they didn't compete with each other. But Julius is well known, is respected, and his work is in demand. The speaker we're having later in October 25th, Ralph Sessions, is an expert in Melcher's work. Julius Melcher's work, and we'll be here to speak that day as well. And the exhibition shows Captain Jack, which is a large, full-size, almost 7 foot tall American Indian figure.
Yeah.
In full regalia. beautifully carved, very intricate, and all carved on a, out of a single ship's mast. Gary's father, Julius, made it a practice to carve all of his works out of older wood that had been aged already being outside. And so he often chose ship's masts, which had been abandoned by the builders, and carved them in one piece. So they're often very narrow and compact and tight, so they've lasted a long time. Yeah. The wood is already aged. It won't split or crack. There's nothing attached to it. It's all one solid piece, so the arms don't break off and attachments don't break off. So they're very solid. And the Captain Jack name comes from the inscription on the necklace on the Indian's body that says KJ, and it's speculated that that stands for Capitan Jack, which is the German version, or Capitan Jacques, or it could stand for Künstler Julius, which means Julius the artist. But the Captain Jack is what has come down through the family that has lent the piece from Detroit, and that's how he got his name.
Isn't that interesting, though, about Julius Melchers? Because I don't know if we've ever talked about influences that got Gary Melchers into painting in art. And you look at that and you just think that's interesting.
Well, Julius opened the first art school in Detroit. His father did, and was widely respected. Taught not only sculpture but painting and drawing, and Gary was inspired by him. And then when Gary wanted to go to art school, he went back to Dusseldorf, Germany, where his father had emigrated from, because his father wanted him to be taught by those that he knew and respected in that part of Germany.
How did Gary get from Detroit to Fredericksburg?
Gary had left Detroit as a young man to go study in Dusseldorf, and after Dusseldorf Academy, graduated, went to Paris like all young artists, started to build his career there, went to Holland with other Americans to establish a studio there, traveled Europe competing, working, teaching all through the late 19th century. He married Corinne in 1903, they stayed in Europe for the most part. He would come back and forth to Detroit mostly to do portraits and commissioned work and New York. But then he was living and they were living and teaching in Germany in 1914 when the war broke out. And they stayed in Germany for a year or so, and then things got uncomfortable for Americans there. Germans were not real happy that the Americans did not come in on their side and support them, so it became very, very awkward for them to stay in Europe. So they decided to come back to the States for what they thought would be a short time before they returned after the war. Yeah. They came back to New York, stayed there for a while, and decided that it wasn't going to end soon. So they decided to look for a country home. And they had a friend that owned Snowden, where Mary Washington Hospital is now, in New York. And he said, well, there's this place for sale across the river. Why don't you come down and take a look at it? And they did. And it turned out there was a family connection for Corinne as well, his wife, with the Ficklin family that owned it. So through the combination of those factors, they decided they wanted to move to Virginia. It was convenient to New York where they were and all the galleries and business. They bought Belmont in 1915 for $12,000 and then moved in 1916 and stayed.
For people who've never been to Belmont, what are the hours?
We are open every day of the week except Wednesday from 10 till 5. As of November 1st, we could start closing at 4. But admission is $10 for adults, and children under 18 are free. And we incur all of our presentations are free on Sunday afternoons, including this Sunday with the African American Gardens talk.
Well, it took me a long time to get to Belmont, but MC Moncure got me there years ago, and it is a terrific place. Mm-hmm. That between the gardens and everything, and the house, and it is worth stopping off and spending an afternoon. David Barrett here, Beyonce Jensen here. More on Town Talk this morning as we talk about what's happening this fall and into next year at Gary Melcher's home and studio at Belmont. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking this morning about Gary Melcher's home and studio at Belmont in Stafford. David Barrett is the director. Beate Jensen is the site preservation manager. Beate, the rain from last week had to be you had to be rejoicing over the rain and the fact that we didn't get what they got in North and South Carolina and just a lot of gentle rain because it had really gotten dry.
Yes, the rain was really welcome. We had a wonderful summer, like we said, up until about mid-July, and then it just got really dry and hot. But that's gardening for you. You just never know what's going to happen, and you just have to learn to roll with punches. I am worried about a couple of trees that are pretty newly installed. We try to water, but you can never mimic nature. You can't do what Mother Nature can do.
Yeah.
So we'll see in the spring what is alive and what isn't. But in the meantime, you know, things are looking good.
For the person who's not been to Belmont and seen the gardens, describe what's there and what you oversee.
Well, the gardens themselves are about, I would say, on maybe 2.5 to 3 acres of land, the formal gardens, as we call them, which is sort of right around the house. It is a restored landscape to about when the Melchers lived there. It's a colonial revival landscape with a lot of boxwood along the house and some boxwood beds around the house and also in the south lawn, which are filled with roses and annuals. And, of course, we are coming into bulb planting season, so that's going to be happening real soon. And beautiful old trees. We have the beautiful long walk, as we call it. It's a boxwood-lined walk that is in front of the house on the east side. Mm-hmm. And I think the gardens are beautiful, very peaceful, and sort of set apart from the world.
Have you been able to did the Melchers leave either pictures or things in diaries, or do you have an idea of what the gardens were like when they were there?
Yes, we have a lot of really good information on that. We have photographs. We have planting plans in Mrs. Melcher's own hand. I have plant lists that she created. I have tags of things that were sent to her, you know, that she ordered, and she kept the tags. So we have a very complete information on what the gardens look like. And we have used this information to convince the Garden Club of Virginia to help us restore the gardens. And we've been very fortunate that they have helped us many, many times over and over again to restore the gardens to the Melchers period. And I think we're getting quite close to what they had now.
That's got to be exciting to have that kind of information, because I know the people at Kenmore are always just hoping for any kind of information to be able to try to recreate. For you to have things like that, and especially from Mrs. Melchers, is exciting.
Yes, and that's the beauty of having a 20th century garden to restore. But we also do have a lot of plant material and other things that have survived from the Melchers that are original. So that, you know, together, they really come up with a very nice picture of how it looked like when the Melchers were there.
Sunday, November 1st there's a program, Growing Great Spring Flowers, and I guess you have something to say about that.
Yes, that's a program that our education director has put together, and it is helping people to, it will be about helping people how to grow, get their spring garden going, and the planning starts in the fall. You know, gardens, you always have to be 2 or 3 steps ahead.
Yeah.
So that's the fun of gardening, I think, is the planning and research and looking forward to it.
With our programming, Ted, we try to not just focus directly on only history of what we have there, but we try to bring our visitors into the whole atmosphere of what we do there, and that includes fresh plantings,
yeah,
new research, new activities, educational programs. And so there's always something that's relevant to someone who might want to come by. It's not just all old dusty stuff. And so we just last week we had our first outdoor event for we called Art After Hours, and we're going to do another one in the spring where we invited the public to come see the galleries, to sample local Stafford County brewery and winery, as well as listen to music on the lawn. And we had a great turnout of almost 150 people or more. And it was a way to get people who may not come to a historic site in the traditional way, but certainly are interested in having a good time and learning on the side, so to speak.
Yeah, and that yeah. this program yeah. Beyond Ted, yeah. you know, it's I mean, everybody wants to know,
yeah,
to learn how to grow spring flowers.
And like David said, it's a great way to bring people to Belmont who might not have come, and then they learn about Belmont. As we say, once they come to Belmont, we sort of have them. We have them hooked mm-hmm. because it is such a beautiful site. And another program that fits into that category is our last Sunday of every month, we have the master naturalist lead a woodland walk, and it's been going on, I think, for 7 years now, and they do it every month, rain, snow, shine, and I think it's been once that we didn't have anyone show up for that walk. It's always very popular, and it's about a mile and a half trail that goes through our woodlands and hits several historic cultural resources along the way, and they also talk about, of course, nature and what the things they see, and they go up through the woodlands and then down to the Rappahannock River, and then back up through the formal gardens. Mm-hmm. It's always a popular walk, and people discover Belmont, and they go, oh, this is wonderful, and
yeah,
they come back.
That trail itself really is good, and I need to show up some Sunday and go on that.
You should go on that. The first time is good to go with someone, and
yeah.
then, of course, you're welcome to come anytime on your own, but today you would have to wear your galoshes, I think.
I bet it is, with as much yeah. rain as we have.
Yeah, but we've had probably the greatest increase in use and visitation of Belmont through the addition of the trails and our Sunday programs, where the tours of the house have stayed steady over the years, mm-hmm. but where we've increased is adding all the other elements that people can enjoy when they come. You know, every day there are people walking their dogs and going through the trails year-round, as Beata said. And we'll have 20 or 30 people every last Sunday of the month going on a trail that have never been to the site before. But they love walking. They love learning. There are historic markers that Beata has done. You know, there are a lot of different things in the trails and down by the river that people don't even know ever existed down there. So it's a way to get away from you know, the everyday life, but not have to go so far. You know, we're so close by that you can just pop over and enjoy yourself. And we don't charge for walking through the gardens as well. You know, we do charge a tour fee, but if you want to just wander the garden and see what Beata has in store for this season, then you can do that on your own virtually any time. And maybe you'll get interested enough to take a tour. We're also the official Stafford County Visitor Center, and mm-hmm. we're open every day for that. A lot of information about the county and the region, and we hope that people come by and learn about everything that Stafford offers too.
Well, the just the view of Belmont really all year round. But when the leaves come off, you've got you can see the river, and it's a all seasons are nice at Belmont, but it's different when the leaves come down and you can see a little bit more of the river and what you're around.
Yeah, we do have a lot of weddings at Belmont. We do rent the facility for outdoor ceremonies and indoor receptions, and often during the summer months when there's a wedding out on the grounds, we'll hear people say they hear this noise, but they don't know quite what it is.
Yeah.
This roar, and especially after a rainstorm.
Right.
And we have to point out, you know, through the leaves that there's the Rappahannock River, you know, down there, and they're surprised. They don't realize that we border right on the river, and our property goes right to the edge, and the trails go down there too. But now coming the fall and the winter, you'll be able to see the river in all its glory, right through the spring.
One of the first things I went to at Belmont, and it was in the building that's out to the side, there was a program out there, and I remember setting up my equipment and then just looking around and just being awed at the landscape that you saw. I had never, I was not even focused on that. You look around at Belmont and think, what a great spot the Melchers found when they were looking for a place to buy.
Yeah. Ironically, you mentioned some of the other sites in town, including Kenmore, which is a gorgeous historic property in the middle of the city. When the Melchers were looking at Belmont, they also found that Kenmore was for sale at the same time, and toured the city property as well. But obviously, they decided they wanted a more farm-like country setting rather than the city, and wanted that space and chose Belmont, even though it needed probably more work than Kenmore did at the time. But then again, Mrs. Melchers later was responsible or was involved in the restoration of Kenmore as the first Garden Club of Virginia restoration in the state. So she remembered the place and kept involved with it as well as her own property.
Did the state – I'm trying to remember because we've talked about this before. The state got that property. Did Mrs. Melchers will it to the state?
Mrs. Melchers actually deeded everything to the state before her death in 1941 with a life interest, so she could live there until her death. And she died in 1955, so everything transferred to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Most of that is because the Melchers were very instrumental and involved in the founding of the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts in Richmond. Gary chaired the Virginia Arts Commission that was responsible for that. And then Mrs. Melchers, after he died in 1932, served on the museum board through the end of her life. So it was very connected. They were sort of the first couple of art in Virginia through the early part of the century. And that connection caused the Commonwealth to accept the property in the 1940s and then in the 1950s take it permanently. And then in the early 60s, the property was transferred to Mary Washington College to be the administrator.
Yeah.
We've been under Mary Washington ever since.
Is there any video, or did they ever do interviews or anything like that with either one of them?
No. We have, hundreds if not thousands of photographs of the two of them through their lives, and fortunately we have that. But to our knowledge, there's no motion pictures or film or video.
Okay. Just wondered that.
Would be wonderful to hear her voice. We hear people talk about her. And knowing her, people who are now quite elderly who remember visiting with their parents in the, in the 40s or 50s and how elegant she was as a proper Southern lady and talking about how she was always in a beautiful gown and dress when she hosted events there and was very gracious and polite and to everyone.
Our focus this morning, Gary Melchers home and studio at Belmont. When we come back with David Barrett and Beate Jensen, we will talk again about some of these upcoming activities. There is a big one coming up this weekend, and we'll run through the list of things going on over the next month or so on Town Talk this morning. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. We are talking this morning about a jewel in Stafford County, Gary Melchers home and studio at Belmont, with David Barrett, the director, and Beate Jensen, the site preservation manager. Big event this weekend as far as the gardens go. Beate, explain again what's going to happen. It'll be this coming Sunday, the 11th.
Yes, the program actually starts at noon, and with the Fanny Roots House, we'll be open from noon to 1:45. And as we said earlier, the Fanny Roots House is just adjacent to Belmont, and it's named after a woman who lived there for her entire life. And then following that open house at 2 o'clock, Gray Gundocker, who's a professor of American Studies and Anthropology at the College of William & Mary, will talk about, discuss African-American gardening traditions and how those have contributed to the landscapes of the southeastern United States. It will be an illustrated talk, and I think it will be very enlightening, and I'm looking forward to it.
And again, the Roots House is a place that will be open for tours and a good chance to see that.
Yeah, we only have that open to the general public about once a year now, but it can be opened by special arrangement as well for groups for a fee. But today, this coming Sunday, the programs are free, and again, the house is open from noon to 1:45, and then the talk starts at 2 o'clock.
Okay. Again, then on September the 12th and going through January 3rd, David, it's an exhibition, Julius Melchers, which was Gary Melchers' father, his Captain Jack.
Yeah, the sculpture is a major work by Julius Melchers, a cigar store Indian that was a part of his success during the late 19th century. It's one of the few that remains intact of the quality that of this piece. So it's a great way to learn about not only Gary's father and his work, but also about the place that cigar store Indians and other carved figures had in the 19th century in this country.
And there's also an event on the 25th that will take place,
yes,
kind of related to that.
Yeah, connected to that is a special presentation by Ralph Sessions, who is a former curator of the Museum of American Folk Art in New York and an expert on American carving of the 19th century. And he's going to speak about Melchers and his contributions to Detroit as a sculptor, as an artist, as an art teacher. And also talk about the cigar store Indians and their place in American art in the 19th century. And that's also a free event at 2 o'clock on October 25th.
I like that you said a little bit earlier that his father was a sculptor who never painted and Gary was a painter who never sculpted. That's hadn't heard that before.
No competition there.
Yeah. Hey, Beyonce, I want to grow some spring flowers, and I know you're going to help me do that.
Yes, we do have a program in, I guess it's November, by Lisa Ziegler, who is coming to do what they call a pop-up shop and then also a presentation. And it's inspired by a new book of hers. It's called Cool Flowers. And I think she's talking or referring there to the colors of the flowers. But it would tell, it's the planning of how to grow a garden. And gardens do not happen overnight. You have to put some planning into it, and she will then discuss how this all comes about.
The 40th anniversary celebration, we're going to have you back, David, to talk more about that, but I know there's a juried exhibit coming up, and there are some deadlines.
Well, October 26th is the opening for entries by living artists who want to submit their portrayals of Belmont, whether it be watercolor, oil, drawings, two-dimensional media. I'm inviting artists to submit works to an exhibition I'm calling Belmont Portrayed, which is a juried show, and I'll be the juror, that will open at the end of January. And it will, it's being done in recognition of the 40th anniversary, and I'm accepting works all the way back to 1975.
Thank you, guys. We're out of time. See you soon.
To sponsor this broadcast, the views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.